Welcome to Truth for Today, the Bible Explained, a Christian ministry program that endeavors to accurately teach God's Word in order to challenge, encourage, and edify listeners. Today we continue our talks on key themes in John's Gospel, chapter 21, with Paul Callicott speaking about caring for the family of God. Feed my sheep.
If you have followed any politics over the last decade or so, you will have noticed how short-lived the careers can be for those at the top. Hardly any political figures seem to end their time in power on their own terms. More often than not, the end comes after some kind of scandal has been revealed. There are times when a career ends quickly because a particular view is held by that individual that is unpopular enough to cause them to resign. There is very little forgiveness on offer for politicians when something goes wrong, and as soon as such a scandal gets out, it seems it is only a matter of time before their career is over. For more particular errors, it is unlikely that any significant role can ever be held again, and the error can be held against that individual for the rest of their lives. There is a sense where this could have been the case for Peter, who we are considering as part of our topic. The event that we are looking at is in direct contrast to the denial that Peter made of even knowing the Lord Jesus. We reach the culmination of it in the third questioning and subsequent answer of the Lord Jesus. These nicely mirror the three denials that Peter made. Peter had not only failed the Lord, but he had done so against the backdrop of such self-confidence in himself, which he declared in Mark chapter 14, verse 29. Peter said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be." Perhaps if it were something we were involved with, there would be a hope that after some time people may have forgotten the incident, and Peter would be allowed to slowly step back into some kind of fellowship again. But a more likely scenario would be if he just disappeared to somewhere isolated. But we do not find this in the Bible narrative. In fact, the opposite is the case. Following Peter's restoration, we find Peter at the forefront of the early church. Not only this, but the act that had brought him so low was never far from the Bible narrative. One can imagine Peter dictating the exact events to Mark, making sure that every little detail was recorded so nobody could say it was covered or papered over. We can be thankful that the Bible presents God's plan, warts and all. It shows the divine hand all over the Word of God. There are aspects of the Bible that we would never want or think to add if we had been writing it. This example of Peter, as the spearhead of the early church, a man who had so catastrophically failed, is just one of the many such occurrences. As we look at the few verses before us in John 21, we also have those words of the Lord Jesus in Mark chapter 10, verse 27. "But Jesus looked at them and said, 'With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible.'" We are looking at the third part of a series on key themes in John 21, specifically covering the Lord's conversation with Peter. The passage is well worth reading in full, from verse 15 to 19. "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' He said to him again a second time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' He said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, You girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, Follow me. It is worth being reminded of the context of this passage. We have the resurrected Lord appearing to the disciples again. They had been in the upper room for some time, and then Peter had taken some of the disciples fishing. They were returning to the occupation that some of them had been experts in prior to following the Lord during his 3 years of ministry. Alas, it was not where they should have been, and they had found the work fruitless until the Lord appears to them again. As they all approached the beach, Peter must have had a sense of unease at the situation, as his denial had still not been fully dealt with. There seems to be the typical exuberance of effort from Peter as he hauls the great catch of fish onto the beach. But again, he finds that there was no need for his efforts. The Lord already had breakfast provided. There was also the cooking method of the fish on coals, which no doubt brought to his mind the scene of his denial. They would have been similar to the fire of coals Peter had warmed himself at before being challenged by the servant girl. What Peter's thoughts must have been, one can only imagine. But what about the thoughts of the Lord Jesus? Having recently read Psalm 23, I can't help but think that the Lord Jesus was actively pursuing Peter with his love and grace. There was a need to deal with this problem and restore the relationship fully. It is even more remarkable that before it happens, the Lord continues to provide, and we see such care in the statement, Come and have breakfast, which is in verse 12. This issue with Peter, however, was not something that was going to be swept under the carpet, or conveniently ignored, and their conversation takes place against this backdrop. The Lord Jesus undertakes the process of restoring and preparing Peter for this third task, that of feeding the sheep. There are four stages, and I am pleased to have been able, at a stretch, to get each part beginning with the letter C. The challenge, the correction, the charge, the conclusion. As we look at these four aspects, we will no doubt see in each how this preparation of Peter is often similar in our own lives when we are being tasked with carrying out work for the Lord. No doubt it has been mentioned in the previous topics of this series that the specific words used in the questions and answers between the Lord Jesus and Peter are important. Each of the key words have different meanings that are not portrayed well in the English translations. The Lord asks Peter twice if he loves him. Using the Greek word agapeo, according to Vine's dictionary, this word suggests a love that values and esteems, an unselfish love ready to serve. It is a love which is devoted and sees the object of that love as supreme. Peter answers with the word for love, which in the Greek is phileo. According to Vine's dictionary, this word conveys the thought of cherishing the object above all else. It is a lesser form, which is why the English translations often use affection. It is still a statement of love, but lesser than the ones the Lord uses. It seems in these that Peter is hesitant to suggest anything more than this because of his failure. As we come to the third question, the Lord challenges Peter again, but uses the term that Peter has used twice. This term is used by the Lord to question if even this lesser form of love used by Peter is even to be relied upon. At this point, Peter is grieved as the cause of his failure is brought home. Peter is now only able to appeal to the omniscient knowledge of the Lord in knowing the true nature of Peter's feelings toward him. It is likely that upon first reading of this passage, our thoughts would turn to consider what the purpose of these questions from the Lord were. It is not a likely line of inquiry that any of us would have taken. Given such an opportunity, phrases such as, "How could you?" or "What were you thinking?" or perhaps even "Don't expect anything from me now" would be first out of our mouths. We might even think that the questions had not gone the way the Lord had planned, so he therefore had to change tack. How thankful we can be that the Lord does not work like we do when dealing with our failures. To help us see how the Lord Jesus was operating, we would do well to be reminded of that story in Matthew 19, of the rich young ruler who claimed he had followed all the law from his youth. The Lord gave the instruction which showed the true heart of that young man. It is never a case that following the Lord requires you to give up your possessions. Jesus was showing here that the man's wealth was where his heart was. He trusted in riches and possessions, not giving God first place. In so doing, that young man failed in the very first commandment that had conveniently been missed out during the previous part of their conversation. The questions the Lord asks always deal with the true heart of the problem, not the demonstration of it. It is the same with this conversation with Peter in John 21. Notice the words in the text, "Peter was grieved." I don't think this was because Peter felt offended or that the Lord didn't trust him. It was because the question was probing Peter so well that he could see that the Lord really did know Peter better than Peter knew himself. In so doing, he was exposing the true condition of his heart. With the probing questions asked, we see the correction beginning in Peter. The Lord had driven home to the real point. Peter had gone with his cautious response, probably hoping to avoid overcommitting himself again. But the Lord questions even this because Peter is still relying on himself. I have no doubt that Peter did truly love the Lord, but he wasn't yet relying on Jesus. That had been his downfall. Peter had declared, as we read earlier, that he was not going to fail. The Lord Jesus had already told him that he would deny knowing him, but Peter had not yet yielded to this and went on in his own strength. Peter's failure was not isolated. All of the other disciples had abandoned the Lord Jesus on the same night. It was the fact that Peter had done so despite his claim to being superior in loyalty. Now he is learning, and the lesson has gone deeper than a correction of misguided words. Perhaps this helped him to rely on the Lord more than the others. Peter's self-promotion had to go, and the reliance had to be on the Lord alone. Peter was finally realizing that the Lord knows better than he does. The Lord does not need Peter's efforts and strength, and the Lord can provide all that is necessary. Peter now does not respond with the same declaration. He responds acknowledging that the question did not really need to be asked. Jesus already knew. Peter was starting to properly rely on the Lord. This is the essential point, because it means that he was now ready to take up the role that the Lord had for him. This moves us on nicely to the charge. It also brings us to the main part of the topic, instructing Peter to feed the Lord's sheep. It is essential that for this particular task, Peter is in the right condition to take it up. It was not just a case of restoration that was needed. Peter needed the right tools for the job. Simply restoring Peter could have led to the thought that he was not so bad after all, and everyone makes mistakes. But this is not enough. Peter had to realize he was an utter failure on his own, and could only do the Lord's work through the strength and grace that the Lord Jesus provides. The charge Peter is therefore given is to feed the Lord's sheep. It is very similar to the first instruction. This is perhaps a little backward to our normal thinking. Surely looking after the little ones is more important. But let us think more of our experience of things. These lambs are not rowdy or awkward teenagers. They are newborns who are eager to learn and happy to be supported. Think of the difficulty, however, in dealing with seasoned old hands who think they know best and don't like to change their ways. What needs more patience and strength from God? I know which one I would rather deal with. The whole flock is effectively now Peter's concern. It will take divine strength to undertake this task. The word for feed is also one that moves beyond the second instruction, which is about shepherding. Oversight and guidance were needed for the latter task. Now it includes the idea of giving that extra support in coming alongside, correcting people, and teaching them the key things that the Lord Jesus had taught him. At my workplace, we take on a lot of younger talent. There are programs in place for the first 2 to 4 years. Often, when that framework finishes, many of those who complete it feel a sense of loss in that they are left to fend for themselves and amongst everyone else. It is actually at this point we lose many who then look for a perceived opportunity for progression elsewhere. Often, it is because there simply isn't the support available anymore. The flock of God is not to be like this. There is always more to learn and more support needed, because the knowledge and service of the Lord does not stop once one has grasped the fundamentals. Peter was the spearhead of this and would look at his own example of how easy it is, despite walking alongside the Lord Jesus every day, to think that you have made it and can rely on your own capability and not the Lord. It was this key aspect that would now shape much of the teaching that Peter would bring to the sheep that belonged to the Lord. There is also another aspect which is really good to see in this example that Peter gives. Peter is a key character in the New Testament and is at the forefront of much of the narrative that is given. It is not a perfect narrative, but rather one with many errors and mistakes along the way. It is quite unusual that one who often bumbled his way through situations would be given such a charge. But this is where we get encouragement. Peter is a walking example of the grace of God. He allows us to hope that someone who can keep getting it so wrong can be used so much by God. Following this lesson for Peter, the Lord does not put him on the shelf, effectively saying that Peter was no longer useful. We would think that it would have been easy to suggest looking for someone better or more worthy to be used. However, Peter's broken pride and realization of his full reliance on the Lord now made him perfect to be used by God. Having dealt with these aspects of the conversation, it is necessary for us to look beyond it to see what the outcome was, the conclusion. It is important to see it as a victory for the Lord Jesus, rather than suggesting that Peter's efforts and attitude were the cause of the success. It was the trust and reliance on the Lord that brought Peter to be the servant of God that he was. We can rejoice that Peter wholeheartedly undertook the charge he was given. What a change it was! We could look at all of the key things Peter was involved in, but perhaps the biggest change was that of his acceptance of the preeminence of the Lord rather than himself. Some of the well-known quotes from Peter show this change clearly. We can first look at the response following the healing of the lame man by the temple in Acts chapter 3, verse 12, where Peter is quick to ensure that all of the recognition is given to God and not to themselves. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this, or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?" We can move on to Acts 5, to the occasion with Ananias and Sapphira. There, even in that moment where apostolic authority could be claimed, Peter's statement at the end of verse 4 shows the real truth of the matter. "You have not lied to men, but to God." Then, on another occasion, when Peter is reporting to the church in face of opposition to the Gentiles becoming believers, we have a lovely statement from Peter in Acts 11, verse 17. "If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God?" At the Jerusalem Council, Peter was a key contributor. Despite acknowledging the role he had been given in bringing the gospel to the Gentiles, he continues to show that he is in the same position as all who come to Christ. The final words we hear from Peter in the Acts are in verse 11 of chapter 15. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. To think that the final words of Peter recorded in Acts are a simple declaration that it is the grace of the Lord Jesus that is of value alone, and it is that grace by which each and every individual must be saved. This is echoed in the letters of Peter, in which Christ is shown to be all in all. The last chapter of 1 Peter has much practical information about what the shepherds were to be engaged in, passing on the mantle that he had been given. In chapter 5, Peter is impressing on those who pick up the responsibility from Peter that the sheep are not theirs, nor are they Peter's or even Paul's. They are the Lord's. What an example Peter has become, not as a leader who we all regret is not with us anymore, but as a servant of the Lord who points to the Good Shepherd. As you are listening to this talk today, you may have a sense of disappointment because its title is about caring for the family of God. Perhaps your preference would have been for a list of things that are helpful in dealing with problems in a local church. Even how to best tackle ministry for your local assembly, especially when people have different views. What we have covered has really been a detailed view of the specifics of a small part of a conversation between the Lord Jesus and Peter. However, it is unlikely any deviation would serve much better. Peter was a great carer for the early church. What was his preparation and training then? It was things like this. Peter was not given a manual to deal with every situation. He was given two wonderful things. The first was the tremendous example of the Lord Jesus, whom Peter had walked alongside for 3 years. The second was perhaps the key thing. The Lord made Peter's heart ready through the most painful of circumstances. These two aspects are all that we need in caring for the family of God. We cannot possibly hope to resolve every problem or have a solution for every eventuality, but we know someone who can. But if we are not fully aware of this and trusting in our own strength, then our efforts will likely end in failure. This is why Peter is such a good example to us of the journey any who would look to care for the family of God needs to go through. For those who may feel that they are the ones who are to be fed, perhaps it is good to see these criteria as a check as to who are truly providing such a vital service. It also serves to show us that each person who has taken up such responsibilities are still those who need the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust that the thoughts presented will have been of use to all of us and have reminded us of the goodness and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to the Truth for Today talk on key themes in John 21. Feed my sheep. Caring for the family of God. Talk number T1472.